welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church, where our goal is to help you become successful in your relationship with Jesus. The first step? Join us in the Connect Room directly following service. This is for anyone who does not feel like they are connected to the family of God. Step two is to help discover more about God, yourself, and the church through Discover classes and Discover Weekend. You can get more info in the Connect Room. The third step leaves all the choices up to you. To develop, one, your faith through classes, two, your relationships through groups, or three, God's church through serving. Finally, we want to help you lead in life. Step four is a course to equip you with biblical principles for success, influence, and leadership. Come and connect after service to take your next step today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How y'all doing this morning? I know it's a little cold in here. Can I just have y'all just stand up to your feet? Let's just get some of this blood flowing. Amen, amen. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We are incredibly excited you could be here with us today. Before we get started, just a few things to bring to your attention. First of all, if this is your first time here, or perhaps you've been coming here for a long time, but you have not been connected yet, I want to invite you to our Connect Room right after church. It's going to be on this side, my left to your right. You meet some people on our staff, and we want to just get to know you and get to say that we love you enough to want to see you face-to-face and to get you plugged in. There's nothing worse than coming to a church but not being connected. Amen? We want to help you get connected. Now, if you are connected, but you want to discover more about our church, we want to invite you to our four-week Discover class. That happens every single Sunday from 9:30 until 10:30. It's perfect timing for you to go drop the kids off, have a one-hour class, and then come join us for our 11 a.m. church. All right? So go ahead, and if you have not jumped into our Discover class, you can start as early as next week. And number three, if you are married, can I see your hand? Wave it at me. Wave it like you just don't care. Awesome. Sorry, y'all. It's almost noon. If you are married and you want to have a great encounter, we have a marriage conference weekend for you. It's February 5th through the 6th. There is a childcare that is paid as well. That's going to be great. It's going to be $50 per couple. That's going to include food as well. And this is going to be a great time with our seniors, pastors, Dr. Michael and Pastor Rhonda Spencer. So I believe we only have about 13 more spots left. So you want to go ahead and get signed up as early as today. Go outside or come and find me and we will help you get signed up. Amen. All right, that's enough of me talking. Who's ready for church? Come on, who's ready for church? Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we lift you up and we magnify you and we give you this service. Father, your word declares that you inhabit the praises of your people. And wherever you inhabit, your spirit is. And wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom. So, Father, we begin to decree and to declare that this is a place of supernatural freedom, God. That as we praise, every wall must come down. That as we praise, everything broken must be restored. That as we praise, everything lost shall come back double in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that with our praise, the enemy is confused. That with our praise, walls come down. That with our praise, everything that's been held up shall be released to us in the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is Lord. If you're ready to praise, give your God a shout of praise.
Something happens when I call your name. Something Something happens when I call. Yeah, y'all sound like a joyful people. Come on, hallelujah. 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 We're good. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus, for your name. Your name is so great. Your name is so mighty. Hallelujah. We love your name, Jesus. We love your name. It's a matchless name. Nothing can stand in between me and that name. Hallelujah. Come on, and if you believe it, just sing with me. Say, we love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain. That happens when we proclaim your great name. Sing your great name. Come on. We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain. That happens I say, when I call your name. Yes, when I call your name. Come on and lift your hands and sing that. Say, say, when I call your name.
Peter shows up in town and he looks at a man that was paralyzed for 8 years, stuck in his bed, and he said, Jesus the Christ heals you. And the man gets up who'd been paralyzed for 8 years and bedridden because he said, Jesus the Christ. You know what's so powerful? We're singing about when we call your name. Man, he is the Christ, which means he's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. What? He's the Restorer. He's the Healer. He's the Blesser. He's the Provider. And when we look at people around us, but man, he did it for them. He'll do it for me. He did it before and he'll do it again. You're like, wow, they're really excited about this Jesus guy. Yes, because he heals. Because he sets free, because he overcomes, because he's greater than any other name that we could ever say. So why get excited? Because there's healing in the name of Jesus. There's redemption in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. So whatever it is that you're looking for this morning, guess what? It's in Jesus. We're going to sing that again in the context of he's Jesus the Christ. Not just Jesus Christ. He's Jesus the Christ. The Messiah, the Savior of the world. We're going to stay on that. God is all over this song right now. And let's just declare who he is. Over every cancer, every divorce, every issue, every hurt, every pain. He's Jesus the Christ. He's above all. Go ahead. Come on. Get after it. Come on.
Say when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Yes, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Lord, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Say when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Say when I call your name.
When I call your name.
You
You are my healer.
You are my healer. Say, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands. Jesus.
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 Say, holy.
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 Just the voices, shout it out. Say Jesus.
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 Come on, one more time. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus,
Jesus,
hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, lift him up. Come on, he's here. Come on, he's here.
Even more context, Psalm 50 verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Come on, in the day of trouble, who do we call on? Jesus, Father, Abba, the Holy One. We love you, Jesus. Man, powerful. Spirit of God is in this room. I don't want to run past it. I don't want to zip by what God wants to do right here. We'd be crazy. We love you, Jesus. If you're in this room and you need God to touch you in your body, call on me in the day of distress. Just go ahead and lift your hands. Come on. Lift your hands. We're going to pray in this room. What's powerful about Acts 9, verse 35? It doesn't even say that Peter laid hands on him. He just said, Jesus the Christ heals you. Jesus is the healer. And we're going to go back into that. That is the sweetest name I know, Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that Christ the healer, Lord, would touch any sick body in this room. That, Father, your healing hand would be stretched forward yet again. That miracles, signs, and wonders would happen in this room, in lives right now, not in books of the past, but right here, right now, because you're still alive. You're not the great I was, you're the great I am. And Father, we thank you right now for working through this room as Christ the healer, touching sick bodies. Father, we pray cancer dies. Father, we pray even muscle soreness. Father, we pray against arthritis. We speak against, Father, any issues in the organs right now, that they would work how you designed them to work. That, Father, diabetes wouldn't be the problem anymore for people. That cancer wouldn't be the issue anymore. Because Jesus the Christ touched their body. Because you said in the day of distress to call on the name of the Lord and you would rescue us. So, Father, not only distress, but we rest in your promises that you are a healer, you are a redeemer, you are a savior. So we put any of these things in front of you even today, that to Jesus the Christ, they're no issue at all. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. That's the sweetest name I know. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, don't run right past it.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Come on and sing that with us.
Worthy is the Lamb.
We love you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb. For you are holy, holy.
Come on, sing that. Come on and declare that.
Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. For you are holy.
Different. I just want to take the next 2-3 minutes and just pray. It's easy, right? Maybe I don't know how to pray. Just thank Jesus for anything he's done in your life. Maybe you're praying for something specific. Pray for that specific. Maybe you're praying for somebody, but let's take the next 180 seconds. Let's just pray. Come on, every voice that wants to pray, go just talk to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are who you say that you are. That Father, you've never missed it. You've never messed up. You've never forgotten about us. You've never made a mistake. That Lord, you still love us. Father, you're still alive. You're still moving. You're still active. You're still here. That Lord, while others might have missed it, Father, I pray that we don't miss it. That Lord, whatever you want to do in this place, it's yours. Father, don't let it be about our agenda. We want to touch heaven. We want you here. We don't want us. We want you. So, Father, we thank you and we love you. Lord, above any issue, above any problem, above anything that would try to distract us, Father, take your position yet again. That this is all about you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in the past. Father, we thank you for what you've done in the first great awakening, the second great awakening. We thank you for how you moved into Azusa. We thank you, Father, for what you did in Brownsville. But, Father, what's next? Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Don't let us move away from that. That the foundation of everything that this is and everything that we are is that we love Jesus. We love you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. There's something about the presence of God that makes you not want to move quick. in history, there's a group of people called the Quakers. And they would literally sit on two sides of the room in dead silence with a heart of prayer seeking God. Until God showed up in the room. And then it looked like a club on Friday night. It went buck wild. But there's nothing wrong with that moment of silence. And let God speak. Share your heart with God. God is saying that, like every year, but even more specifically in this moment, that as much as we want is as much as we can have. The like mental image I'm getting with it is almost like a spigot attached to your house for the hose. And you can open up the hose a little bit and you can get a trickle. A lot of people are just okay with a trickle. And you can open it up as wide as you want, so it's just gushing out. And the invitation, personally, corporately, is what it's always been. But even more freely this year, as much as what you want is as much as you can have. What does that mean for a service? That means for services like this, next week, as much as what we want is as much as we can have. Tomorrow morning, as much as what you want is as much as it is what you can have. There's no other limiting force but our hunger. A gift, like, there's actually a gift of hunger from God. People don't talk about it. Let's pray for the gift of hunger. I'm saying, I just want more of God. If that's you, that's your heart position. I just want more of God. Just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you would release the gift of hunger in this room. You said those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that, Father, they shall be filled. Lord, I pray that hunger would rise in this room. Hunger for Jesus, hunger for truth, hunger for souls, hunger for encounters, hunger to be used in the kingdom of heaven. Father, that you'd wake us up. Father, that you wouldn't let us go to sleep. Father, that we'd be skipping lunch for hunger to spend time with you, our Savior, our Lord, our Father. So Jesus, I pray right now that you release hunger in this room. Hunger like never before. A greater desire. Father, even greater than that first obsession we had with a high school girlfriend or boyfriend. Let us be even more obsessed. Let the obsession with you even grow. That, Lord, we want more. Come on, if that's you, can you just let out a mighty amen in this room?
Amen.
Amen. Man, y'all love Jesus. Come on, will you give Jesus a hand clap in this room? We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Man, you know what's, I've been reading through the book of Acts, and you know what's so cool? Is every time there's like a mass outbreak of a city getting saved, it's not because someone was preaching on healing. It's because someone started talking about Jesus. And because someone was talking about Jesus, somebody got healed, or like 50 people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then cities get wrecked. Well, we need more of Jesus is what we need. We need more Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. You guys can grab a seat. Don't worry, we're going to talk about Jesus now. Pastor, I'm actually jealous of Pastor. He's on vacation. So if you don't see him, don't worry. He didn't ditch us. He's not going anywhere. We are blessed to be stuck with him. But he's on vacation, which is great. So I'm happy for him. And yeah, good for him. It's cold here. Good for him. Yeah? Awesome. Some people really don't understand what happens here. And it's kind of funny to me because a lot of people have seen religion in church, but they haven't seen a house of people who are just like desiring God. Amen. And I love that this is a place that's marked by the presence of God. John chapter 17, verse 3 is like our church verse. And summed up, that verse is saying that it's our push, it's our hope, it's our cry that we would know God and we would make God known. And you can literally know God more by experiencing more of God. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in the book of Ephesians. He said, he literally said that you can know the height, the depth, the width, the knowledge, the breadth of his love. And it's interesting because that word know is not talking about a head knowledge. It's actually talking about an experiential knowledge. And that's the God that we serve. It's not just a God of head knowledge, but a legitimate God of experience. And that's what I'm so excited about, that we get the presence of God whenever we start looking. Amen?
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 Amen.
Look, we can't have a bomb worship set like that and then y'all fall asleep on me. Okay? It's not like, all right, now I can go to bed. It's like, no, we're signed up for this. Guys, here's what I've learned. I'm almost a real adult. I will be 30 in April. And I will finally be a real adult in April, on Easter.
Try turning 40.
I'll get there eventually, I think. Pray for Stacy, guys. But here's the truth. I'm turning 30, and there's something that I've realized about life and about the world, and that's ultimately everybody is searching for the same exact thing. It's pretty interesting that everybody is looking for love and acceptance. Everybody is looking for peace. Everybody's looking for joy. Everybody is looking for the same thing. They just have a different method to try to achieve the same thing. And we know that there's not many methods to get what God has promised. And this morning, I just want to get back to the basics. And I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you this morning that in order to get what you're actually looking for, it's only through Jesus. Amen. It's not in sitting in your chair only. Amen. It's not in your work. It's not even in living through your kids. It's literally simple. It's relationship with Jesus. And we can talk about all these other things, and I love these other things, and they are vitally important. But I want to make sure that we still get the basics, because 2021 can look just the same as 2020 for you if you're plugged into the wrong thing. See, we know that lights only work when they're plugged into the right thing. If I were to sit here and genuinely expect this light to turn on by being plugged into an apple, you would all look at me like I was an idiot, kind of like you are now. So it's literally the dumbest thing I've ever seen, that this guy would think by plugging this into an apple that it will turn on. It is physically impossible for this light to turn on simply because I turned it into an apple. I could scream at it. I could shout at it. I could call Wayfair and I could scream at their customer reps. I could. I might get Antonio or Pastor Jody, but I could scream at one of them. But it's never going to work as much as I want it to work. I can tell everybody about how this is the thing that should work, but it will still never produce what I'm looking for in this life. I could try it as many times as I want, with as many things as I want, and it's still not going to work. I could get as mad as I want. I could even yell at the light. You stupid, worthless, foolish light. Everybody told me that you would turn on. Everybody told me that you would help so I could see. Everybody told me you would give me clarity, and it was a lie. You're the worst light I've ever seen in my life. And you're like, this guy's losing it. All right? We all know there's only... there's only one way this is turning on. I'm kidding. And that's if we plug it in. There's only one way. You're like, ooh, a light. Yes. There's one way that this light works. And it doesn't matter how many different ways you try to get it to work. It doesn't matter how many different ways. It doesn't matter how long you try. It doesn't matter how many different directions and people you get advice from. There's one way that a light is going to work, and that's plugging it into electricity. And the truth is, in this life, it's very simple. The only way to get what we're looking for is to plug into the right source. Everybody can try to convince you that love, joy, and peace, and prosperity, and good life is found in all of these things, but it's absolutely not true. How do I know? Because they'll proclaim it, but they'll still get a divorce. They'll still cheat on their wife. They'll still go for more and more and more. They'll still not be happy. They'll still do X, Y, and Z because it's not fulfilling what they thought it would fulfill. It's only by Jesus. It's simple and it's easy. It's only by Jesus. John chapter 15 is one of my favorite, 1 through 11, one of my favorite sections of scripture. And this is Jesus' final discourse with his disciples. And you got to think about it, like his disciples had been with him for three and a half years, every single day. They walked with him, they slept with him, they ate with him. They did all of life with him for 3 to 3.5 years. And in his final conversation with him, one of his most important points was found in John chapter 15, verse 1 through 11. I'm going to read 1 through 4. And he says this. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And see, what we've found in this life is there's a lot of imitations, but imitation never produces the fullness of what it's promised. Look, I could go and I could bite every single fake fruit at Bed Bath & Beyond, but it's not going to promise to give me the nutrition of a fruit that I'm actually going to get at Wegmans. It doesn't matter how good it looks. It doesn't matter how good it feels. It doesn't matter what it's promised. If it's not the truth, it's still a falsity. It's still a fake, and it's still not going to produce what you're genuinely seeking for. And a lot of people have bought the lie. See, Jesus made it very clear and very simple, and I want to help us kick off 2021 in the right way because it's 3 weeks in now, which means whatever your New Year's resolution is, you've probably already abandoned it. Who bought a gym membership and has not gone to the gym after like 2 weeks? Be truthful. I'm proud of you guys. You guys are doing it. Maybe they just didn't buy a gym membership. Could be that too. How many people made all these great plans? So we fasted, we made a faith wall, we made all these plans. I'm going to do the X, Y, Z. I'm going to cut down my phone time. I'm going to cut down on Netflix. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And we're 3 weeks in, and we're already back to what we were doing. You don't have to indict yourself. It's okay. But here's the truth. Unless we change where we abide, then we'll never get a different output. Abide is a very simple Bible word. It means to remain. A couple years ago, now 6 years ago, we were just about to have Sophia, and Mindy had this little two-door car, and it just wasn't possible to put a car seat in the back. I didn't want to do it. So we got rid of it, and we bought a four-door car. It was like a decent car. I was like, look, I want you to be safe. I don't want to have to worry about you breaking down. I want to make sure everything is in order, so that when we have this kid, you're good when you're out and about. And we bought this car, and like 2 years in the winter, it kept dying. Like one time, she was at Quick Fill, because I hate pumping gas in the winter. It is what it is. It's cold outside. Huh? Think about what you want about me. I don't care. It's cold. I don't want to be cold. Get over it. But she calls me. She's like, car died. What the heck? Drive over, jump it. It's fine. Like 3 days later, it's negative 40,000 degrees because we live in upstate New York. And what happens? Go to drive it in the morning, it's dead. What the heck is going on? I just jumped this thing. Couple like weeks later, it's running fine, and then she's somewhere and it dies again. I'm like, all right, this is stupid. I need a new battery. I'm going to buy a new battery. Does it again. I'm like, what is going on with this car Josh sold me? No, I'm just playing. What is going on with this thing? And I like know nothing about vehicles, okay? And I blame my dad. Homes, vehicles, bikes. And I don't know anything about them. It's my dad's fault, okay? Pray for me. But it's crazy because I call my uncle. I'm like, dude, what's going on with this thing? Can you come and look at it? Because he kind of knows about everything somehow. And he gets there, and he's like, oh, dude, this is actually really simple. Your battery is fine, and your car is fine. The problem is the connection piece. It's corroded. He said, when it's corroded, what happens is there's not a good connection, and the battery's always going and producing, and it's just eating itself because the connection is not secure. And that's why it keeps dying, is that there's corrosion in the connection, and it's a quick, easy, like $5 fix. Let's take care of it. I'm like, dude, you got to be kidding me. I thought it was Josh. I thought it was the battery. I thought it was all these things, but really, it was just a small, easy thing that was out of order. Can I tell you, that's where most people's issue is in their relationship with Jesus. It's not the fact that they don't love God. It's not the fact that they're messed up. It's the fact that there's not a consistent connection. But there's corrosion in the connection. And we fluctuate. We fail to abide in Christ at all times. We fluctuate between abiding in Christ and our idols, in our distractions, in our emotions, in our ambitions. Instead of remaining fully in Christ, we fluctuate back and forth. And we wonder why one moment it's hot, it's awesome, I love Jesus with everything I have, and the next moment the train is like falling off the tracks. It's simple, guys. It's a connection issue. And when we fix corrosion, the connection is clean. Yes. Psalm chapter 135, verse 15, it says this so well. Psalm 135, 15 through 18, it says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouth. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. The truth about the idols we've made is that there's no life in them, and if we are in them, then there's no life in us. Simple ploy of the enemy is to give us a false sense of what God truly has to offer. See, we got so caught up in 2020 with so many things. Sure, your relationship was pretty good, but the corrosion of fear made it so that the abiding and growing in Christ didn't remain. And it was a lot of things. And sure, 2020 was crazy. I don't know anybody who's ever had a year like 2020 unless you were alive in 1918. But the truth is this. If your year is going to be different, it's because you determine that nothing will get in the way of you remaining inside of Christ. No distraction will ever be allowed to be in your life. And this is where we're going. See, what would it look like if you still did those things, but it was remaining in Christ? Like, think about it. What if you still had emotions, which God made? What if you still had ambitions, which are not bad? God put those dreams inside of your heart. But what if you lived a life where your emotions were still remaining in Christ? Probably less people cut off on the highway. I'm looking at you on the front row. What would it look like if we remain in our ambitions in Christ, where we're not just trying to glorify ourselves, but our entire goal is to glorify Christ inside of our ambition. What does it look like when we remain in Christ, that instead of all these other distractions, we listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, which says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Paul said, one more thing, guys. Fix your thoughts on whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy to be praised. Amen. What would it look like if we lived a life remaining in Christ, focusing on these things? You see, the truth is, all production comes from the root. Whatever our life currently is a direct result of what we've been attached to. Whatever our life currently is a direct result of whatever we have been attached to. In 2021, the invitation is to remain attached to Christ. Not to fear, not to doubt, not to the insanity of the political world, but remain attached to Christ. Because the truth is, facades fade quickly. Look, it might look like an apple tree from far away, but as you get up and you start to inspect things, Scripture says you'll know them by their fruit. Look, we're a direct result of what we've been pulling from every single day of our life. The goal of Christianity, the goal of Christ in your life, is not so that one day it's really good, the next day it's terrible, and then you get good, and then it's really bad, and then something horrible happens. The goal of Christ in your life is not a roller coaster, but the goal of Christ in your life is forever increase in your relationship, in the production, and the promises being alive in our life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says, but the path of the just is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until it reaches full strength. Another thing I learned is that the closer you are to the power source, the more you can draw from. I learned that because my uncle almost killed me. But it's fine because one time he saved my life. So we're even, I guess. I almost drowned when I was like 5. He pulled me out of the water. No one else knew where I was. When I was 17, when I was like 19, he almost killed me. Story time. What happened is we were updating an electrical service, and he's a wild man, and he decided he didn't want to wait for NYSEG to detach the power from the house, but we could just do it because we're good at what we do, and we don't have to wait around all day waiting for NYSEG to show up whenever they want on their own timing. So, we've done this before. It's fine. I watched the other times. So, he's pulling things off. He's like, hey, hold this one screw right here for me with these pliers. I'm like, okay, whatever you say, man. And then, in retrospect, it's really stupid of me. And it really makes a lot of sense now. But in the moment, I was like, you know what? I should try to move away from his hand so he has more room in there. So, I moved the pair of Kleins this way. And I touched two spots on the box at the same time, and beautiful sparks and fireworks went off right there. And he was like a little bit freaking out. I was like, dude, you could have killed us. You could have destroyed the power to every house on the street. You could have blown up the transformer. And it's crazy because now I realize the closer I am to the power source, the more I can draw from. Because if I'm in the house just working on a little light switch, it doesn't matter. Like, it might be a little bit, but it's not bad. You're going to be all right. It'll wake you up. Definitely will wake you up. You'll be ready to rock and roll that day. Do it in the morning. You don't need your coffee. But the truth is, it's easy there. Go ahead and move past the light switch. Maybe you're working in the main panel box. You still might be hit with some power, but you'd probably be all right still. Go outside with no protection from the transformer, and you grab a hold of that power source, and baby, you could be crispy. As close as you want to get to God is as close as you can be to God. Amen. The amount you want to grow, it's an open invitation. The goal is to remain plugged in. And this is kind of corny, but just for visual, you can get brighter and brighter and brighter. It's a fancy light. Miss Carla gave it to me. But really, one of the issues is with our Christianity, we'll just be real for a minute, is that there's too many flickering lights. Because everybody knows there's an issue when a light is flickering in a house, right? There was clearly an issue with my stinking car that Josh sold me. He doesn't sell cars anymore, so I can pick on him. Because he kept dying. There was a problem. It was a small problem, something I should have known, but there was still a problem. It's funny when there's a flickering light. Like, at my dad's house, there's a flickering light right now, and I turned it on. He's like, you've got to turn that off. There could be an electrical problem in the house, and it could burn down, and we'd have to get insurance, and we'd have to live in a hotel again, like, when it flooded, and what if the dog was still in the house, and I'd lose all my stuff? Turn the light off. Everybody knows. It's funny, that's how he does it, too. Everybody knows when there's a flickering light, there's a problem. And there's been too many Christians who are flickering as the world is watching. Out here, my God is awesome. He can move the mountains. And they're out here making your own boyfriend or girlfriend situation because you're lonely, instead of remaining in Christ and letting him actually fulfill those needs and wants and desires in your life. Not just picking on the single people, we can throw out any issue where we abandon Christ and try to fulfill it on our own. But the truth is, that's an imitation, and all we look like is we're trying to plug a light into an apple, and then we blame God. Well, God never did what he said he would do. Really? Oh, yeah, huh? Imagine God looking down from heaven. It's got to be as foolish as looking like, he's like, guys, I gave you exactly what to do. Yeah. First off, remain in me. Yeah. It's simple. Those who remain in God will grow. Just really simple today. Those who remain in God will grow. Those outside of God cannot truly live. John 10:10. He came that we would have life and life more abundantly. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if we're not attached to God, we can't have abundant life through God. Those in God grow. Those outside of God can never truly live, even though it might look like they're truly living. Because beneath the facade of what we celebrate as humanity, there's a mess inside of their heart. Luke 9:24 and 25, it says this. Whoever desires to save his life must lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This is what God is saying. He's saying, if you can abandon trying to preserve your own life and surrender your life to me, you'll actually find it. But if you only try to fulfill your own life and do your own things and make it work on your own, you are guaranteed to lose it. And then the question in verse 25 is simple. What would it matter? What does it matter if you gain the entire world, but you still lose your soul? And that's what we got to ask ourselves moving into this year. What does it matter if I still have this corrosion and it feels good, but I'm in and out and I'm wishy-washy with God and I lose my own soul? What does it matter if I have the best job, the most money, the biggest house, the best family? What does it matter if I have all these things, but I personally don't have Christ? Is this what he said? He said, those who don't bear fruit are cut off. But what I know about God is he never birthed a branch for it to be destroyed on purpose. The only way it can be destroyed is if it denies the nourishment, because it's trying to get nourished from what it's already attached away from what it's already attached to. God's not the one holding out. I've seen a lot of people blame God. Well, God never did this. God's not the one holding out. How does this make any logical sense? I'm going to send my son so he can die, so that you can have salvation and relationship through me. But I'm going to make it a really hard game of hide and go seek. That's not what he said. He said, all who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. It's an open invitation. And I know that this is simple, but sometimes I like simple. He said it like this. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Look, remain in Christ and what we ask will be done. This is not rocket science. Christianity is easy. Love Jesus, remain in him. And he said this, it continued in John 15. He said, by this my Father is glorified, so that you'll bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We could say it like this. I've never walked into my kitchen, looked at my fridge, and be like, give me dinner. Like, that's not how it works. going to like someone else's house. Give me dinner, yelling at their fridge. I'm like, dude, that's not what a fridge does. That's not how it works. And that's how a lot of people live their life. We have a culture that's mad at God, saying he's not there for us, but in reality, we're not there, we're not in him. Ready? God is wherever you last left him. Real simple. Man, I've been in church for 30 years on April 4th. I've seen a lot of people real mad at God. But God's still right over there as they've been chasing that man or that woman. God's still right over there, whether they're chasing that paycheck. God's still right over there, but they're chasing to fulfill their own issues in their own heart instead of letting God take care of it. God's still right there. He's not hiding. He's not running. He's waiting. Yeah. Think about the story of the prodigal son, right? He says, give me my inheritance. I'm out. And he goes and he wastes it. He splurges on the world. It's a mess. The father never left the house. He was still right there. And when the son decided I'm going to come back, he didn't make him come back in shame. He came back and threw a party for him, met him halfway back. God's not going to make you feel shame. He's not there to throw you off. He's not there to condemn you. He's not there to punish you because you did a couple dumb things. He's literally saying, I'm waiting for you. I love you. I desire you. Scripture says this, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He's right where we left him. And it's not always about just doing like bad things, right? I think in church we talk about like, well, you shouldn't get drunk. Well, that's true. Absolutely true. But it's not always just the bad things that cause the corrosion. Sometimes it's just things. Sometimes it's the TV. Sometimes it's this weird obsession that you have. Whatever it is, imagine if you spent that much time in Christ. Like, what would it look like if you spent as much time on social media, and I can say this to adults and teenagers because it's across the board, as much time on social media with Jesus as you did on social media? What would it look like as much time with Netflix, as much time as this, as much time as this, and spend that with Jesus? What would it look like? What would it look like if your mind was transformed to mirror what Christ thought? What would it look like if you actually allowed him to convict you of your sins and you changed your heart and you started living for him? What would it look like if you had more passion for him? What would it look like if you had more passion for his kingdom? What would it look like if there was biblical actions in your life? What would it look like as we become more like him? What would your life look like as you get the promise of joy found in John 15:11? Instead of trying to make it on our own. It's in him. Not on our own, and we come on Sundays and we get reattached for a minute and we get our jump start for the week, and by the end of the week we're dead again because of the corrosion on that battery. Because we've been plugging into different things throughout the week, hoping we got enough to survive. And really, let's be honest, like attaching to Christ is simple. It's not hard. Jesus said it like this. He didn't make it difficult. He said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. He said, take me because I'm light, I'm easy. He said, repent, believe in your heart, repent of your sins. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, he said, therefore cleanse yourselves. Just lay these things aside and come after me. It's easy. We make easy things really hard. Seriously, we do. I just did it for like 8 years. Here's what happened. I came home from the gym one morning, and it was like 6:30 in the morning. She says 6. I turned the light on in the bedroom because it was time to wake up. That didn't go over well. As she was yelling at me, she sat up like the Undertaker at WWE. She's like, and she's up faster than you could ever imagine. And pulls the chain like she's the Rock. And rips the chain right out of the ceiling fan. The light is off and like rips blankets and curls back over. Like, do I need to cast something out or what's happening? It was crazy. It was crazy. But for 8 years, I went and I bought a little corner lamp. The thing fell over like 100 times. Like, man, that thing is just dead. I should replace the whole fan. I guess there's no way you fix that. That is a mess. For 8 years, I've lived with no light in my bedroom other than this stupid little corner thing that you spin because I thought it was really, really hard to replace. And we've been trying to sell our house, and what happened is we're like, I should probably replace that. If someone comes in the bedroom, they should probably see that the light works. That's probably, I should look into this or just get a new ceiling fan. So I looked it up, and within like 15 minutes and $5, the light worked again. It was so easy. But for 8 years, I've avoided fixing this thing because I thought it was really hard. And don't worry, I talked to Mindy about her attitude, and we got it sorted out. We got it sorted out, all right? But see, really, like, a lot of our life is determined by what we do the same. For me, that was stupid same. I did the same stupid thing for 8 years. Some people are caught up in stupid same. Keep going back to the same person, keep going back to the same location, keep going back to the same attitude. It's not worth it. Some people, it's scared same. They're scared to do anything different, so they keep doing the same thing. A lot of people live scared same. But scared same means you can't live in faith. Scared same means you don't trust that God will take care of you if you take that next step. And then some of us live in stubborn same. It's just who I am. Wow, I didn't read that in the spiritual gifts, that was something that you could be. That's crazy. I didn't realize that being a jerk was a spiritual gift. That's great. It's just who I am. Bring it up with God, not me. Some people are stubborn same. This is who I am. This is how I grew up. Oh, I thought we were supposed to reflect the word. I'm making friends today. But see, when you can do the right thing by remaining in Christ consistently, you're guaranteed growth in godliness. And I want to grow in God. I want to grow in His promises. And I want to do it together. But it's not going to happen if we keep doing the scared same, the stupid same, and the stubborn same. We got to do the same thing and remain inside of Christ. Because it's the same that produces the results. You don't have an apple tree come fall like, wow, that produced an amazing crop. And then you dig it up and you plant it somewhere else the next year and think it's going to still give you a great crop. No, you keep the same root system and you let it grow deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper so it can grow stronger and stronger and stronger and produce more and more and more. That's the goal. How do you change to do the right thing the same? Like, I have four easy questions. They're groundbreaking and they're super genius. Ready? One, what's the problem? See, like, changing what we do is honestly really simple most of the time. And here's how I know you're good at it. All of you are really good at finding what's wrong with somebody else. It is a spiritual gift. Give me the scripture reference right after church, okay? But really, a lot of people are good at finding what's wrong with somebody else, but they're not good at diagnosing what's the problem in their life. Take a minute, bring it to Christ. What's the problem? Ready? Here's another crazy question. Who does it affect? It affects you. Here's the one most people leave out. It affects God. It affects your relationships, kids, wife, parents, work. And it affects your destiny. That's who it affects. The third question, written, this one's crazy. What can I do? Crazy for change. What can I do? There's a biblical action for everything. So what can I do? What can I do according to Scripture so I can get this out of my life and I can remain in Christ? So I can abide how He asked me to abide. What can I do? It's probably going to start off with repent. And then there's probably an action that follows. And then here's the fourth one. And a lot of people, they don't like this one because they think they got to do it all on their own. Who can help me? Look, if you got to do everything on your own, it's a personal problem because God told us to do it in relationship. Do it with somebody else. Amen. And what's crazy is like, it's very simple. Reattach to the King is the very first thing. If you didn't think I used enough Bible, here's something that's really interesting. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, brothers, I beseech you, I challenge you, I encourage you to do this one thing, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And you read this, you're like, okay, that's pretty interesting. But what does this actually look like? In the Old Testament, what would happen is the priests would literally kill an animal. They would prepare the altar. They would sacrifice the animal on the altar to God. And the animal had no choice or opportunity to get off because it was dead. And that was the sacrifice to God. In the New Testament, guess what? We are considered kings, priests, a royal generation. And there's not a priest giving sacrifice for us anymore. It's our opportunity, not our obligation. It's our opportunity and invitation to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Nobody else is going to attend the altar of my heart but me. I have a personal responsibility, and so don't we all, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. The only problem with a living sacrifice is it has free will. And it's really easy to be on the altar and see that over there and be like, oh, shoot, let me go over there. What's difficult is to remain as a living sacrifice. But it's not difficult when you remain attached to Christ because you realize He is love, He is joy, He is peace. That thing could never replace what God has given me because God gave me the pinnacle of anything that I'm looking for in life. Remain as a living sacrifice. How do you remain attached to the King? I think you choose to be a living sacrifice. Like literally part of the gospel is self-denial. Luke 9:23. Therefore, if anyone desires to come after me, they must first deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me daily. That's being a living sacrifice. I think the next thing that we really need to do to reattach to the King is we got to have actual true Bible engagement. When I was a kid, we used to sing, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and it'll grow, grow, grow. But it's really missing a really important like key to the equation there. Because I know a lot of people that have read their Bible and they've prayed, but they've never actually obeyed their Bible. See, you can read your Bible and you can pray every day, but unless you actually do what the Bible tells you to do, you're never going to get the results of the Bible. And this would be called Bible engagement, where we read, we pray, and we do. Which is very important to do the Word of God. And when we do the Word of God, we remain in God. And when we remain in God, we remain in His promises. And we grow, 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 like Proverbs 4:18 says. It's abiding in Christ. I think another thing we need to do if we're going to actually remain in Christ is you need to get into a group. Shameless plug, join a group. Why? Because when you have like-minded people around you who love Jesus, who challenge you to love Jesus, who are sharing the things of God in their life, and you're doing real, genuine life with, then everything starts to change. Like, well, I don't have time. Well, guess what? You probably just looked at your life and found some corrosion, so you had some extra time. Like, think about how cool this is. I know a man who, for like the last 30 years, his kids picked on him and called it Hallelujah Night, but this is powerful. They would have dinner with their personal friends like every Friday night, every other Friday night. They'd eat dinner and then they'd pray for their children. That's awesome. We need more of that in context of remaining in Christ. And see, when the body of Christ becomes plugged in individually, it comes alive corporately. And when we're alive corporately, the kingdom of God becomes a reality in our homes and our communities. Amen. God is not like one of the desperate women in The Bachelorette. I get so, this is such a stupid show. But He's not standing like, oh my gosh, I hope they pick me. Oh, please pick me, please pick me, please, 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 please. Like their lives are going to be ruined if we don't choose them. No. He's made the ultimate sacrifice. And the decision on his end is simple. You can choose me or not, but I'm not going to compete with your heart with these idols. It's a personal decision. Do I want God or do I want my idols? Do I want God or do I want my emotions? Do I want God or do I want my distractions? Do I want God or do I want XYZ? Fill in whatever the blank is for you. But what I want is I want God. And I want God because I know when I get a hold of God, other people can get a hold of God too. See, revival, getting a hold of God, is when we realize there's no other thing. Man, I want this for our city. I want it for our community. I want it for our church. I want it for us. Why? You realize that Chemung County has a 13.5% poverty rate? We need to get God in Chemung County. There's people left and right are dying of opiate addictions and heroin still. It's just not in the news. We need God in this city. You realize that there are massive issues in our city, in our counties that are surrounding Chemung County. You know, we need God in here because we need the divorce rate to start to drop around us. We need God in here because we need to start seeing people healed and set free, not just remaining in the same bondage. And it doesn't happen when we get it. It happens when you get it, because when you get it, we all get it. We stop waiting for other people and decide, I'm going to attach. I'm unplugging from the apple. I'm not going to keep screaming at the light because I'm plugging into the wrong thing. I'm going to plug into Jesus this year, and I'm going to remain plugged in this year, and I'm not going any other direction. I'm not letting any distraction. I'm in Christ, and I'm not in my distractions anymore. There's no more corrosion. There's no more flickering. I'm all in this year, and I'm going to see great and mighty things. Over the addiction, over the depression, over all these things, I'm going to see God glorified in this city, this county, this region will be saved because I made a personal decision to attach to God. And because 100, 500 of us, 1,000 of us chose it, it starts to make waves where we are. But it doesn't happen when we just talk about it. It happens when we make a decision. I'm done with the corrosion. I'm going to attach. I'm not going to blame God for what I haven't been doing. I'm all in with Jesus. Why attach? It's God's intention. His intention is personal, genuine relationship with you. Why attach? Because that's where real joy and real promises and everything that he's spoken about, everything you're looking for is only in attachment to Christ. Why attach to God? Because his promises are in there. Man, healing, heaven, prosperity, purpose, all of his promises are attached in attachment to Christ, not in other things. And I know this is a simple message, but I think it's really easy to think that I'm good because I showed up. But we're not good because we showed up. We're good because we abide in Christ. Yeah. Seen a lot of people in religion walk away from Christ because they were never actually in Christ. They were just in a chair. Yeah. We're in Christ. Yeah. And we're going to get all of God that he has to offer this year. Just like in worship, man, as much as you want, turn that spigot all the way open. As much as you want is as much as you can have. It's an open invitation. Why? Because he loves you and he designed you for a relationship. And in his final discourse with his disciples, he said it like this, remain in you, me, and I will remain in you. Will you bow your heads? A simple question that's really the first question is, do you know Jesus? If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, there is no other way to heaven. I know progressive Christianity, woke Christianity will try to tell you it's being a good person or there's many paths to God, but there's one way to God and his name is Christ Jesus. According to John chapter 14, verse 6. And he loves you enough that he would die on a cross for you. And if you don't know him, he's not there to bring a pain train to your life because you don't. He's inviting you into relationship. It maybe you used to be in deep relationship with God. Now there's a lifestyle of sin that you're living. And you know you need to turn from that lifestyle and get right with God yet again. But you're saying, today's my day. I need to get right with God. I need to surrender my life to Christ. I'm ready to attach to Christ. If that's you, will you just wave your hand at me? I don't want to embarrass you. I want to pray with you. Amen. 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 Let's stand to our feet. We're going to all pray together. And then I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand or if you said in your heart, I need to make this real. Right over here is Amanda, green shirt, orange hair, red hair, Kim Possible. Right over here. She wants to pray with you. She wants to give you a Bible. Because this isn't the finish line, this is the starting line. I don't want to say that to intimidate you. This is the best decision you could ever make. Now it's time to run. We want to teach you how to do it according to Scripture. You're not in this alone. This is what the church exists for, is to teach you how to run after Christ. So let's pray this together. Father, in the name of Jesus, today, I repent of my sins. I believe in my heart that you are who you said you were. And you died for my sins. So today, I choose life in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. As simple as that, now according to Scripture, you have life in Christ and a brand new relationship with Him. Amen? Come on. This is the best thing. That is the greatest miracle, is life in Christ. Amen. If you raise your hand, or if you know you needed to, right over here on the side, we want to make sure we give you a Bible. But here's my other question before you go. And, well, Mindy's going to come up. I know I told you about the light thing. She's okay now. But seriously, is that thing worth keeping? Is it time to give it up so you can genuinely get all that Jesus has for you? It's not a decision I can make. It's a personal thing we get to make. And all of what God has for you, you can have as much or as little this year. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Mindy's going to come up. She's going to take the offering. But remember, if you... Pastor Kevin, that was not nice. No, he's great. They do a great job. But honestly, if you feel disconnected from the church at all, maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've been here like 10 years and you don't know anybody or anything. I want to invite you to the Connect Room right over on this side. We want to get you started in next steps because we care about where you're at in Jesus. It's not just about coming to a building. It's about growing in godliness. We want to run with you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We put your hands together for Jesus.
Yes. Amen, guys. Well, you guys have been blessed with me for the offering message today. We joke about it because I never do this. I probably will be behind here maybe in a year from now. So enjoy, okay? So just give me a couple minutes. We're still earlier than Pastor. It's going to be good. And in my defense, he's the loudest individual in the mornings. And it's just not okay, all right? So you need to pray for him. Anyway, we are going to talk about giving. It is an exciting topic. So if you've already tried to check out and be like, ugh, again, the church and their money, then you know what? We love you. Enjoy your day. But for those of you who want the promises of God, I encourage you to stick around. So I want to read, I was praying like, okay, Lord, you know, what do you want your people to know? We can come and pick, you know, any scripture that has to do with giving and like try to feel like we're prying money out of your pockets, but that's not what it's supposed to be about. So the Lord just kind of showed me Proverbs. It's a book all about wisdom and gleaning knowledge in Proverbs 11. It's kind of going down through unbalanced scales and how they're an abomination to the Lord. And then it talks about the righteous and how they'll be blessed and then the wicked and what happens to them. But then in verse 24 through 28 is where I want to focus. It's talking about our giving and the blessings that come when we're generous givers. So I'm going to read those for you real quickly. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. And lastly, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. I just want to point out a couple things real quick. Number one, we know that God's promise is that when we choose to be generous givers and obey God's word, He wants to bless us more than what we can even give. Like, we cannot outgive God. He's a provider. He owns it. He lives in heaven with streets of gold, all this stuff. We can't outgive God. And I think sometimes we think like, I don't know, God, this is a lot. And He wants to give you more back than what you've been given. It's a blessing to those who walk in righteousness with God. But this is what I kind of picked up of some of these verses, which I thought was really cool, and I want to share them with you. So I believe we are people who are righteous. We choose to obey God's word. We apply it. Righteousness is to be in right standing with God. So therefore, we apply his word. Well, that means we should flourish. But it says when we're selfish and we're ungenerous and we hold back what we know to give, that we'll always suffer want. Think about those people. Maybe it's been you. I know I've been in places like this in my life where it's been all I do is talk about all the things I want. Want, 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 want. You feel unsatisfied all the time, and it's like you're always grasping and they're never fulfilled. I don't know about you. I don't like that feeling, but this is saying this is where we'll remain if we don't give what we need to give. And then it goes on to say, what I thought this was cool, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters himself will be watered. It's talking about that word rich literally is translated to the word fat. And I'm not saying this to offend anybody, but back in the day and in other countries, if you were of a bigger weight, it was really a sign of wealth. It was a sign of prosperity. It was a sign of health that you had ownership of. And I'm telling you, that's where God wants to bring you. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be wealthy. He wants you to have more than enough. But it's when we're a blessing. It's when we give generously. It's when we obey the principles in God's word. Listen, I didn't come up here and make this up and try to tell you and twist your arm and say, give us all your money. That's not what this is about. Like, it wouldn't talk about money over 2,000 times in scripture if God wasn't trying to prove you something. And that's the thing. Every time, it's always what he wants to do more for you. It's simple. Again, it's very simple. We make it hard. It's simple. Obey God's word. Give generously, and he'll give you more than enough every single time. And then I just want to skip down. I know there's a couple other things in here. Oh, and it's talking about people who withhold. Right now, I feel like we're definitely in a season where people feel the need to withhold things because, you know, of uncertainty. They're not sure what their finances are going to be or about their job. We're withholding things. I know there's people, you know, we have a stockpile of toilet paper in the basement. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? When the time comes, instead of withholding that from and being generous with others, we're trying to sell it to them for a higher price. Like, we're not to be those people. It's saying when you give generously, God will always take care of you. It's his promise, not mine. But lastly, I want to just focus on verse 28. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like green leaves. That word fall, when you look it up in the Hebrew, it's to fail, fall, cease, rot, die, fugitive, divide, lost, or thrown down. I don't know about you. I don't want any of those things around my life by me not giving. But it says the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. And real quickly, it goes along with, and I absolutely love this, Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I want to encourage you today that when you step out in faith and you obey God's word and you give, but you don't just give, but you give generously unto the Lord, you will always be taken care of and have more than enough. You will be blessed. This year and last year, we can see, I think it's fair to say, it can be a year of drought. For many people, it has been a year of drought. They have lost their jobs. They've been in panic. They've been in fear. They've had to rely on the government assistance for finances. But I'm telling you right now, the heat that tries to come against you, the government promising things and then breaking it, or losing your job, or not getting through the unemployment, all of those things don't have to be your story. When you choose to step out in faith and trust the Lord and give generously, when we give give, more can be given. So I want to encourage you today to step out and become a generous giver. And I'm declaring that over you this year, that this year, just like last year, we flourished, and I know many of you did. You went above and beyond in a time of drought, and I'm believing that that's going to be your story for this year in 2021, that you're only ever going to increase, that you're going to flourish in every season in Jesus' name. So go ahead and stand to your feet with me. We're going to make our declaration like we do every single week, but don't just say it as words. Mean what you say and believe that God is going to provide. Amen? All right, go ahead and repeat after me. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. Awesome. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and give on your way out. Enjoy your day. We love you, and we'll see you next week.